Praise God. Come on, give God another round of applause. Come on. How many of you enjoyed the praise and worship? Awesome, right? Such an awesome presence of God. I just want all of you to just close your eyes, lift up both of your hands. Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence. We thank you, Lord, for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your presence and your glory and for who you are in our life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We just surrender everything unto your throne that your people will be able to hear from you, Lord, your word. And your word will fall on good ground and will cause your people to respond to your word. Lord, Father, that's what we are asking, Lord, that your people will respond to your word. That your people, after listening to the word, Lord, they will do something about it. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, another round of applause for Jesus Christ. You know, see, it's so good to be found in the presence of God. You know, we are on the team of rebuilding the church. You know, if you were following us, you know, we had Pastor Crystal spoke on it. We had Pastor Derek and also Pastor Rajan spoke on the same subject on rebuilding the church. And how many of you know that God is inviting not just the pastors or the leaders, but all of us here, you know, from the front to the back, the old, the young adults, youth, or whoever you are in this church, God is inviting us to put our hands into the plow. Turn your neighbor and say, put your hands into the plow. All right, so we are in the season of rebuilding the house of God. And today my title will be called A Call to Serve. Turn your neighbor and say, A Call to Serve. A Call to Serve. How many of you know that we are all called to serve God? We are all called to serve the body of Christ. We are designed and we are shaped to serve God. And how many of you know that, serving God is one of the expression of our worship and our love towards God. Let me just make it, say this one more time. Serving God and serving the house of God, or serving one another, or serving a believer, serving a neighbor, you know, serving someone is actually also an expression of your ultimate worship and your love towards God. How many of you have been in love before? Put up your hand. None of you have been in love. Then who's the one sitting beside you? Your husband and your wife. No, of course, we all have been in love. You know, when you are so in love towards someone and when you're attracted towards someone, you will want to serve them, right? You will want to wake up and make coffee for them. My wife's looking at me. You know, we will do the housework. We will try to serve them because that's an expression of our love towards that person that we adore and we love. Likewise, serving is that. When you serve God, when you serve the body of Christ, when you serve one another, it's an expression of your worship and your love towards God. Now, before we go on in understanding what the call to serve, I want to take you back to the book of Old Testament to really understand the concept of serving. How many of you know, even in the Old Testament time, you know, even in the Moses time, the concept of serving was already established. It was not a new thing in the New Testament only when, you know, people came together and serve God. If you trace back in the Old Testament, you will find a perfect concept of how the people of Israel came together and served one another and served the Lord. Now, if you have your Bible, I would like you to turn to me to the book of Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 to 9. Exodus 25, verse 8 to 9. And this is what the Lord is speaking, right? The Lord is telling to the Israelite, the Lord is speaking to Moses. And this is what the Lord says, and let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Verse 9, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishing, just so you shall make it. Now here, as we read this scripture, this verse, you will find that the Lord spoke to the children of Israelite. The Lord says, hey, know what? I want all of you, you know, to build a sanctuary for me. In other words, I want you to build a tabernacle for me. Now, why build a sanctuary for God? Because in the Old Testament, right, God doesn't resides in the heart of the people yet until Christ come. How many of you know that? When Christ come, you know, he died, he resurrected again, and that's when God began to live inside of our hearts. But in the Old Testament, God resides in a place. In other words, God resides in the ark of God. And until Christ came, you know, God lives or God dwells in a certain place. So God is telling here now to the children of Israel, right? After coming out from Egypt, they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And on the first year, when they are wandering in the wilderness, don't know where to go, where to go, no direction because they got no ways, no app and all that. Don't know where to go. And here God is telling them, you know what? Children of mine, you need a place to worship.
Why you need a place of worship? So that I can dwell among you. So build me this tabernacle. What's a tabernacle? A tabernacle is a tent of meeting. Tell your neighbor, a tent of meeting. A tabernacle is a place where God will come and he will reside there so that the people could feel the presence of God. And the best part about this thing, right, when God told the people to build this tabernacle, now we need to understand this, the tabernacle, right, those days in the Old Testament, during Moses' time, it's a portable thing, which means, you know, every time they need to come together, they need, when God said, okay, build me the tabernacle, they will all have to come, build the tabernacle together, and once they are done with the prayer, as they move on, they have to pack it up again, and then they have to go on, and then they'll build again. So for 40 years, can you imagine? They took up, they go, they build. And when they are done, they pack it up again, they keep moving and moving and moving. Isn't it interesting? The first church is already on the move. The very first church, the very first concept of the church is a portable thing. That means the church was always on the go. Okay, I'm not going to talk about that, but let's go back to the tabernacle. Now, the beauty thing about this tabernacle, why I'm sharing this to you as an introduction, is for you to really understand this concept of serving. Wow, why do I say that? I'll come down, right? Better. Now, why do I say that? Now, because when God told the children of Israel, right, to build this tabernacle for them, it means, you know, to build this tabernacle, right, because the width is about 75 feet long and the length is about 150 plus long, the length, okay? So it's a huge thing. It's not a simple thing. It requires a lot of manpower. It requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of energy. It requires teamwork. So when the children of Israel, right, when they heard from God, okay, now we got instruction from God to build this tabernacle. If you read throughout the chapter, right, the next chapter and all that, you will find that God gave a very specific details on how to build the tabernacle. He was so detailed that it requires a lot of energy to do that. And in order to build the tabernacle, the entire children of Israelite, the entire 12 tribes of Israel, they have to come together. They have to put their hands into the plow to build the tabernacle. Even in the concept of the very first church, even in the concept of the early days, if you trace back in the Old Testament, God was already inviting his children to come together to build him a tabernacle so that God can dwell. Now, because you know why? As they will build the tabernacle, right? Some of them will go and find the woods. Some of them will go and find the tent. Some of them will go and find, will try to, you know, start a fire. Some of them will clean up the tent. Some of them will clean up the place. And then we got the Holy of Holies, you know, specific instruction that God gives them. So it requires the entire people to come in together to build that thing. Church, I want you to know that church is not a one-man show. Church is never about one pastor and one leader and maybe five cell group leaders. No, church is a team play. Turn and imagine, church is a team play. Church is a team play. Back then, even in the Old Testament, all of them have to come. They will go and find the rods. Some of them will find the wood. Some of them will carry the tent. Children will help their parents. They will all say, okay, come. Now let's build the tabernacle together. Now you will realize that everybody has different roles. Not everybody's on the stage preaching the word. Only a selected priest, one priest only can go in into the ark of God. Am I right? If you know the story back then, no one can go because if you go in, then you were struck dead. You know, only the holy ones can be there. And then some of them will be outside. Some of them will be outside the tent. But they all contribute to host the presence of God. My friend, serving God doesn't matter what you do, but you are contributing in hosting the manifestation, the presence of God. That's the reason why God told the people of Israel, build me a tabernacle so that I will come and dwell. My friend, sometimes certain things you do in the church or in your serving one another, you may feel that it's not very huge. You may feel that it's something very small, but you are actually contributing for the manifestation of God's presence and the manifestation of God's glory to take place in this house of God. Come on, somebody put your hands together. Now, this is where we can see the real first concept of serving took place in the Old Testament. Now, by this, right, what can we learn by looking at this tabernacle? By looking on what God has just told his children, we'll find that every Christian has a role in the church. I want to let you know this. I want to encourage all of you. You are sitting beside someone who has a role in the church. Look at them in their face. Come on. Why are you doubting? We all have a role in the church. Just like how the children of Israel, right? All of them had a role. Some of them was as simple as, hey, go and take the wood, please. Some of them was as simple as, after finish, let's roll the curtains. Let's roll the tent. It's a simple thing. But without them, things will not be perfect. Come on. Without that small boy going and finding that small piece of wood, it will not be perfect. My friend, let me tell you something. Today, the Lord is recruiting the church. He's saying that all of you are important in the house of God. All of you play a specific role in the house of God. All of you are shaped and designed to serve the body of Christ. Imagine if all of us can come together and we will say, yes, Pastor, I want to serve the house of God. I want to serve the kingdom of God. Can you imagine how our Sunday service will be like? Can you imagine how our cell group will be like? That we will be that person who will cause the manifestation of God's glory and God's presence to take place. Come on, somebody give God the glory. You have a specific role in the church and you are very important. I want to talk to all of you today. I want to speak to all of you. All of you are equally as important as the one who stands on the stage and worship lead. All of you are equally important as the one who preached the word of God. All of you are equally important as the guy who keeps banging the cymbal so loud just now. No, no, kidding. You play really well. We are all important. Turn your neighbor, look them in the eyes and say, you are important. But probably you are sitting here and you may feel that you are not as important as it is. And you may feel that, you know, people don't need me. How many of you have felt like they don't put up your hand? You know, sometimes we have developed this. You know, even in the past, like, you know, if I come or don't come, nothing changed. What? Everything just remained the same. How many of you have felt like that? You come to just, you know, I'm just a nobody. I come, lift up my hands, see karabaraba a bit, and then go back, settle. You know, just a normal thing. No one noticed me. No one realized me because there's nothing. There's no gift inside of me. There's no talent inside of me. How many of you felt like that before? Secretly, you're putting your hands right inside. We all felt that, right? Felt that, I'm not important, lah. See, no, that guy didn't even smile at me. I'm not important. What can I contribute to the house of God? What can I do to the house of God? I'm just an ordinary Christian. Let me prove you wrong. Can I do that? Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Now, those of you using your handphone to go on to the scripture, I want you to switch to the Message version. Can you do that? Those of you using your phone, you know, I want you to switch to the Message version. If you're in NIV or NKJV, switch it to the Message version so that we can have a better understanding of what God is saying here. Now, here in the NKJV version, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. Now, this is what the Message version said, all right? Okay, stay with me, all right? Everybody look at me. The Message version said, God has given each of you a gift. How do you like that? God has given each one of you a gift from His great variety. Wow, variety. It's like you're going to a hotel buffet. You have a variety of food that you can just take, you know. And this is what God is saying. From His variety of spiritual gift, use them well to serve what? One another. In the Message version, it says, God has given each one of us a gift. Not God has given two or three people in the church a gift. God has selected few people. Those who went for Bible school only, then I will give you the gift. No. Here, the author is saying that all of you here, we have a gift. Tell them and say, you have a gift. All of us, we have a gift. So if today, if you're sitting here, you feel that you're not important, that you feel that there's nothing that you can offer to the body of Christ, if you feel there's nothing that you can offer to the church of God, you are wrong. Because there's a gift inside of you and you need to discover that. Later, I will teach you on how you can discover that. But before that, how many of you would like to hear a story? You like to hear a story, right? People's story, we like to hear. No, kidding. Just a joke. Now, this story, as I was growing up, you know, I think I was 17, almost approaching 18. You know, that's when I got saved. And then I came, of course, this church. And then we had a youth ministry back then.
And then everyone was serving, they were singing songs, and that time, you know, I had no talents, I can't play any music, I can't preach, and I can't sing, and until today I still can't sing, by the way. So I had nothing, no, I felt that there's nothing that I could offer, but there's this desire that I would want to serve God. How many of you had that? You know, you feel that there's nothing inside of you, but you just want to say, God, I just want to serve you in any ways. And how many of you know when you feel that you feel that you got nothing inside, that you don't know what that you can give? Number one is find a need. Turn them and say, find a need. During that time, right, there were some youths, a bunch of youths, couldn't come to the service because they had no transport. And here I just finished my Form 5, going to go to my 18-year-old. So I thought to myself, there's this van that's parking in the church, but no one is driving that time. So I thought that, you know what? Since everyone's already serving on the stage, everyone is doing everything already. Now I'm going to take up the challenge and go and get license so that I can drive the church van. Can you imagine? You take the license, and the first thing next, you drive the church van. It's like, you know, why not? It's like you're driving those bulldozer. You feel it's so huge. You know, first time, you know, you take your license, and you want to drive the van. So I thought to myself, okay, there is a need, and I will do that. So I took my license, and then finally I drove the church van, and that time I was staying in Pasigudang. No, back then, you know, many years ago, if you tell people you're staying in Pasigudang, they will think you stay to the end, the far ends of the earth. Are you Pasigudang? They put their heads in there. Very, very far. And that time, we have no EDLs, and we don't have Grab service and all that. Public transport was not good back then. Now it's the same one anyway. So it was very difficult. Why are you laughing? It was very difficult for people during that time to travel. You know, people don't really own much cars and all that. So from my house, I will walk about 1 to 2 kilometers to the nearest bus stop. And from there, can you imagine bus stop, but bus will not come? How many of you experienced that? Malaysia bully. No. So I was sitting there, we'll be waiting for bus will not come. So I have to take taxi. So taxi will come. So take taxi to another bigger bus station in Masai. All right. So that's where the bus, you know, will either go to many different parts of JB. So I will get on the bus, and then the bus will directly bring me to City Square. During that time, the bus stops at City Square. And then from City Square, I will take another bus. It will stop at the hospital over here, the front one, hospital. And then from the hospital, I need to get down and, of course, walk through the hospital and then walk through the behind door and then walk through Yasin and then come here, take the van key, drive the van, and fetch a bunch of youths who stay at Kota Masai. Some of you laughing because you know where Kota Masai is. Exactly beside. So here, for me, from my house to come all the way here, it will take me 1 hour and 30 minutes. You know, that time, you know, because of the roads and the jam, everyone was you, Pasigudang Highway. So 1 hour and 30 minutes, come here, take the van, go and fetch those who are staying nearby my house. Somebody is laughing because I fetch him also. I used to fetch Pastor Derek also that time. Eh? Pastor Derek, that time eating lollipop. He'll come very small, cute boy, still cute anyway. He's at the back. So, you know, we'll do all this, okay? And then once the service finish, same route. Send them back all the way there, come back, park the van, and go back by bus, walking, and taxi. And this was going on for the period of 2 to 3 years. And the best thing is, you know what? There are times sometimes you will feel that, just a van driver, you know, nobody recognized. But then there was a voice that spoke to me. Without you, they couldn't come to church. Without you, they couldn't experience the presence of God. Without you, they wouldn't have heard the word of God. Because that time, they got no media and all that, you know. That time, I think there's only MySpace. How many of you are familiar with social media? No Facebook and all that. It was just MySpace. So, and then, no, there's no recorded sermon. Why are you laughing? You have that? Okay. Do you still have that? It's closed down, I think. No more already. So, I actually allow people to experience God just by seeing a need that was there during that time. And until today, we still drive the church van. Pastor, you know, the Rohingya school, we still drive the church van. What I'm trying to say, you may feel that you are not important, or you may feel that there's nothing inside of you that you can offer. Find a need. You know, how many of you have came to church before, and, you know, you came in, and you were like, you know, the children church not good, the lessons all not good. Then probably God wants you to be part of the children ministry and start teaching. It sometimes turn your complaint into positivity. You come to church, outside there, the kappa guys, I don't want to smile, very rude. How many of you have said that before? Probably God is asking you to sign up to be a parking attendant. Come on.
When you see a need, when you see something that is lacking, when you see something that is not well, probably you are the right person for the right thing to fix that problem. Come on. Instead of complaining, instead of telling, they were not good, the aircon like that, do something about it. That's how the Old Testament people were like that. When they saw a need, they came together, even though they're carrying a piece of wood, they said, yes, I want to be a part of a team, because church is a team play, and I know when I work together with one another, when I serve together with one another, that's when the manifestation of God's glory will take place. Come on, people, somebody give God the glory. And there's a joy in serving God. Turn to them and say, there's a joy in serving God. There's a joy in serving God. So, yeah. So that time I played an important role. Very, very important role in bringing the people to the house of God. Now, let's go to the next one, all right? Listen here. And probably you're sitting here also and you are thinking, you know, okay, I may have this gift, you know, I may have, there's this passion inside of me, but I feel that I'm not equipped. How many of you have felt like that? That I want to serve, but I feel that I don't know much about the Bible. You know, I don't know much about Christianity. See, that's always our struggle, right? We feel that we need to be so perfect and then we will serve God. Brother, let me tell you something. If you think that way, by the time Jesus will come already. Really, because none of us is perfect. How many of you? Even the church is not perfect, Pastor, right? Correct. The church is never a perfect place. The church is a hospital for the broken hearts. We have hospital for the wounded. But church is the hospital for the broken hearts. We are never perfect. So if you're going to wait for the perfect time come, I'm telling you, Jesus is going to come and he's going to take you. So there's no time for you to serve. Serving, you can't serve in heaven, you know. Heaven is just worship. It's only when we are still living here, this is an opportunity for us to serve. Probably you're sitting here, you feel that you're not equipped. I'm going to prove you wrong again. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 21. You have a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 21. Hebrews 13, 21. Now this is the NKJV version, right? He make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well, pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, again, if you're using your phone, I want you to switch to the NIV version now. Can you do that? NIV version. NIV version is the New Indian Version, right? No, okay. Hebrews 13, 21. Now, Hebrews 13, 21 in the NIV version, it says, he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing unto you. What does it mean? It means for every gift that inside of you, he will equip you. Come on, people of God. God never calls where he does not equip. God has uniquely equipped you for service. If there's a passion inside of you, if there's a call inside of you, God will equip you towards that. Come on, people of God. How many of you know the story of Paul? Even before Paul had an encounter, God was already equipping him. How? He was the man who knows the scrolls very hard. He was the man who knows the law, the Torah very well. He was the man who knows the attributes of God. He was the man that you will name the most best Bible scholar. He will be that guy. God was already equipping him for service. Likewise, even you may not be in full time. All of us, we have different jobs, right? Some of us, you know, probably we are in the finance sector. Some of you could be in the construction sector. Some of you could be doing property. Some of you could be in medicine. Some of you could be, you know, still going to school. In different sectors and industry that God has placed you in, let me tell you something. God has already started equipping you. Some of you, probably you're so good in finance. Probably God wants you to come to the church and help people who are struggling in finance. Give them class. Teach them your wisdom. Teach them way how to buy properties. Teach the younger ones how to invest. You see, God is equipping you. Some of you, probably you're so good in admin. You're so good in filing. You're just that person that everything must be in order. Everything must be in file. If nothing's in the file, you will not work. Probably God is equipping you for his service. Call the church office and say, you know what? I got this gift. No, I want to be part of this admin team. Sister Lydon, can I help you? You call them. God equips you in every sector and industry that you are in. Come on, people of God. Don't think that you are just there, you know, so that you can earn a salary and feed your family. No, God is secretly equipping you so that you can use that in the kingdom of God. Some of you probably are doing insurance. You're so good in marketing. Some of you are doing direct sales and marketing. You're so good in talking. You're so good in convincing people. Probably God wants you to be an evangelist. That you will come to the kingdom of God. That you will call, you will join the pastors and say, "Hey, hey, come, let's go and witness Christ." Come on, somebody. Likewise, all of us here, we have a specific gift. And why won't we use this gift to serve God and serve one another? Serving is never about ourselves. Serving is always got to do towards God and one another. Now, when you look at serving as yourself, that's when you will get burnout. Ha-ha. That's when you will grow tired. How many of you have felt like that? Must come again, Saturday evening. 2 o'clock, practice. Tomorrow must wake up again, 8 o'clock. After practice, 1 hour prayer. After the play again. And then evening, got another service. Now, if you think that serving is just all about you, you will get burnout, you will get tired. But when you think, when I serve, I'm giving everything unto God, and for others to experience God, you will do it perfectly. Change your mindset. Put on your nursing cap. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Put on your nursing cap." Put on your nursing cap and let's serve one another. We are in the season, we are in the time that we need to rebuild the kingdom of God. And in order to rebuild the house of God, the kingdom of God, the house of God, we cannot just leave it to the media department. We cannot just leave it to the worship team. We cannot just leave it to the pastoral staff. Like what I said earlier, that we all have an important role to rebuild back the church. Come on, somebody, give God the glory. Now, this is not a message to make you scared. But this is a message that God is inviting you. God said, "Come, partner with me. Not just cooperate with me, but collaborate with me." Most of us, you just want to cooperate with one another. "Okay, I cooperate with you, lah." Right? "Okay, since you say prayer meeting, okay, I'll cooperate with you, I'll come." No, we don't want you to cooperate with us. We want you to collaborate with us. It's a whole different thing. When you cooperate, means just for the sake of doing it, you do it. Like, no, we don't want that. But we want your cooperation. More than cooperation, we want your collaboration. That you will collaborate together, that you will partner with us, and you will say, "Yes, let's serve the house of God." Come on, how many of you are excited? Alright, so when we serve towards God and we serve towards one another. So this is why the church is described as the body of Christ. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Now let's go to verse 14 now. Verse 14. "For in fact the body is not one member but many." Go on, verse 15. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is there thereof not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it thereof not of the body?" Verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling?" Can you imagine God created you with five noses on your face? You look ugly, bro. Imagine, God will never create you with five tongues. Definitely. One tongue, so we get a lot of trouble already. Right? Okay. So God put there, Imagine your whole body, just this one thing. Boy, bad shape. You will not take a selfie of yourself. That's the reason why God has different parts of your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your teeth, your ears, everything. Why? Because all of them function differently, but contributes to the body. Likewise, in the church, probably, it's sad to see, throughout the church, throughout the world, we just, most of the church, that they're just good, they have a lot of ears, or they have a lot of mouths, but they do not have hands, they do not have legs. Calvary City Church, we are a complete body. That's why Paul would say that as a church, we are a body of Christ. What does it mean? Some of you are hands, some of you are mouth, some of you are the eyes, some of you are your nose. And when everything functions separately, but towards one cause, towards one vision, towards one like mindset, you will be a healthy body. That's what serving is all about. Serving is bringing a church into a place of having this healthy body. Turn to them and say, "Healthy body." So this is why the church is described as the body of Christ. Now, I'm just going to give you three reasons why
we should serve God and then we are done, right? Just get ready, the keyboardist. Three reasons why we should serve God. And this is important. And I hope that after this, you know, you can just go at the back there. There's some video, there's some QR code there that you can be part of the Rohingya ministry. You can be part of the children ministry. You know, the children ministry needs volunteers, really. Needs teachers to come in. Those of you who are good with children, you know that, you know, when children sees you and they just get excited, you have a gift. Sign up. Don't worry. The children are not going to climb on top of your head. Don't worry. It's a joy. You know, there's the children ministry. There's worship ministry. You know, there's what other ministry? We have cell groups. We got usher ministering. How many of you know that serving in the usher and the connectors is one of the most beautiful thing? Because, you know, I know now you're wearing your mask. You can't smile. But how many of you know, like, sometimes even when you're wearing mask, right? Because, see, smile comes from the heart, not from the mouth. That's why sometimes when you smile, right? Certain people, when they smile, after that, you're like, hey, they want fake smile, right? How do you know that? They're still smiling, what? This is simply smiling just to simply, you know, lie to me. And you will know, they want fake smile, right? When a person really smiles, hey, the fellow is really smiling, he's really happy with me. Why? Because the smile doesn't come from here. It comes from the heart. Even though you're wearing your mask, how many of you know that when you're wearing your mask, when people walk in, when you smile, they know that you're smiling at them, right? When you see Pastor Betty, you know she's smiling at you. Because you're smiling all the time. Likewise, listen this. A gift is not just coming here, come on, change, you got to serve God. No, it could be as easy as, praise the Lord, brother, how are you? God bless you. It's as easy as taking your phone on a Monday and calling someone, brother, sister, how can I pray for you? How's your life been like? It's as easy as taking your WhatsApp instead of sharing all the, you know, the forwarded message or what happened in Uganda, what happened in Zimbabwe. You can just take your message and just say, brother, how are you? How are you doing? Can I pray for you? Please don't forward message in the group, okay? Okay, anyway, when you do all that, it's a gift. You are contributing in serving one another. Come on. Your smile is serving. Your handshake is serving. Your WhatsApp messages is serving. Your calls are serving. That's why I said that we are all bodies of Christ. Now, three reasons why we should serve God. Number one, serving is part of our identity as Christ followers. True or not? Serving is part of our identity as Christ followers. Mark chapter 10 verse 45. Mark chapter 10 verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. Wow. Who is this? This is Jesus, you know. Jesus is saying, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. When the Father told the Son, I want you to go to earth now. He did not come. That's why until today, right, the Jews couldn't believe that there was the Messiah. Because they think, like, when the Messiah comes, he's going to come riding on the horse. He's going to have a sword. Everybody's going to bow down. He's going to be like a hero. He's going to, you know, cut the enemies, destroy the enemies. They had this picture. That's what we always think a king do, right? That's what we always think a warrior does, right? That's what we think always think a hero does, right? Watch a Korean drama or a Tamil drama, especially. The hero will always fight, right? But the real hero is someone that serves. That's a real hero. And here Jesus, he comes and he serves everyone that he encounters with. And when we say why we serve because that's our identity as a follower of Christ. You cannot be sitting here saying that I follow Jesus, I love Jesus, but I don't want to serve. If you love someone like what I said, you will follow his footsteps. When you love someone, you will try to express your love towards that someone. And your expression in loving someone is to serve one another. How many of you know that Jesus washed the feet of his disciple? People are supposed to be washing his feet. Hello, right? Jesus. People are supposed to be doing everything for Jesus. But instead, Jesus washed the feet of his disciple. That's our identity. Today you're sitting here, you think that, what is it for me to serve? Why should I serve? Number one is because that's your identity in Christ. Number two, why should you serve? Serving, like I said earlier, serving promotes healthy body. Not your physical body, but healthy body as a church. When everyone functions individually, but one, it promotes a healthy body. That's God's desire for His bride, that we will be a healthy body. Now, this is going to blow your mind a bit. How many of you know that more than unity, right? Jesus didn't really talk much about unity, but Jesus talked a lot about oneness. What Jesus was trying to say here, that we all need to be one in spirit, one in mind, one in vision. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, if you read the story, they all had oneness. They all came together, remember? They all came together, they sold out everything. The Bible clearly says because they were one. There was oneness within them. That's what the church needs to be. When you serve God, what happens is, you are telling one another, hey, I am one with you. You may be driving the van. You may be stacking up the chair. You may be cleaning rubbish. Probably you just go out from the parking there, you saw rubbish, you take and throw it in the dustbin. We all are one together. Come on. Serving promotes a healthy body as a church. Romans chapter 12 verse 4 and 6. Romans chapter 12 verse 4 and 6. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. All members doesn't have the same function. All of us have different function. Verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually member of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Turn neighbor say, let us use them. See, Sam has a gift of taking picture. He's taking good picture of me now. He may not be up here preaching the word, right? But he's making room for people who didn't come to church so that they can see it on YouTube, so that they can see it on social media, so that they can connect it to the word of God. See how the body works? Different. He's not here. He's there. But we are still important with one another. Come on. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now you're all members. Now we all now have this membership. Now put your hands in your pocket now, everybody. Now take up your membership card. No, I'm just kidding. You're really doing that. Obedient church. We all have this membership now. What is this membership? That we all one right now. You know how many of you know you got this membership? Somebody has this membership. What membership is that? The hotel one? What is it called? Marriott group of hotel. So they can go and have half price and all that. Membership, why? You have this membership, you are part of this group. Why? Because all of them share the same entitlement. All of them share the same benefit. Likewise, we all will share the same benefit. How? Let me tell you. This will lead me to the third point. And then we are done, all right? Serving opens up blessing for others and also for your family. When you serve God, you open up God's blessing to come upon people and also your family. Now, if you don't read now, go back and read. If you will read 2 Kings chapter 4, it was a story of this widow who have lost her husband. And the husband was a good guy. The husband is no other than Obadiah. Obadiah is the one who wrote the Bible, one of the prophets. And here, when she lost her husband, the creditors was after her, saying that you need to pay back this and that. And she had nothing. She only had a jar and the oil. That's it she has. What do you have in your hands today? What is the little thing that you have? God can use it. So she told, and then there was this, another prophet came, Elisha. And she told to Elisha, my creditors are after me. But you know my husband. She reminded Elisha, you know my husband. My husband feared the Lord. My husband was a prophet. She was actually reminding Elisha of the husband Obadiah who served the Lord. And one of the key things that Obadiah did was, during that time when Jezebel was after the prophets, he is the one who hides all the 100 prophets in caves, 50 in each cave, one cave, two caves, 50 each, and every day he will come and he bring meals to them, serving God. He was actually in charge to be in the palace of King Ahab. He's supposed to be there, but secretly he goes and he served the prophets in the cave. No one saw him. Only the prophet saw him. Likewise, sometimes when you serve, no one will see you. How many of you feel like that? You do something and you feel like, no one noticed me. Does God even notice? God notice. Silently, he'll take his food. That time, don't have bakute all, you know. And he was not a Chinese. He was not in India. There's no sati soru all. Probably just bread and some water. 50 of them each. No grab food panda all, you know. He will have to bring them. Go to the cave. Sit down. Take. Eat. Eat. He will go back. But who serves him? Serving God, something like that. You may feel that you're giving, and you're like, yeah, but no one gives me. Come on, let me just encourage you. Those who are serving as a cell group leaders, those are serving, probably not in the church, but you're serving others. You have done so much, and you feel like, I give. I don't see it coming to me. Serving is a legacy that you will leave behind. Look this. So when this woman told Elisha, you remember my husband or not? Then Elisha, yes, I remember your husband. Because your husband was serving under the leadership of Elijah at that time. And she said, and Elisha asked the woman, what do you have? I have one oil and one jar. Now, I want you to go to your neighbor's house, go to all your village and borrow all their jars. Take all their vessels. Take all their pots. So the woman did that. The widow did that. She went and took all the pots, all the jars, went to the neighbor's house, called the son, hey, let's go. And they had a lot of pots now in the house. And Elisha said, now, take that tiny little oil that you have. See, today I didn't drink a lot of water. Because Pastor Raja always make fun, right? So what happened here? Tiny little oil that she had, hundreds of jar. And she started pouring. And the oil did not run dry. He who serves the Lord, let me just encourage you. Your oil will never run dry. He who gives his heart, his effort, his time unto God in serving the body of Christ, you will not live in lackness. You will not live in dryness. Come on, people of God. As she began to pour, the oil began to be full and full. And then she realized the oil is still there. It's not dry up. And Elisha said, now go sell all the oil. And she got a lot of money and she paid back her creditors. And she and her son's life got saved. Why? Because her husband served the Lord. Your serving will open up a blessing for your family. As a father, if you serve God, the blessing will come upon your children. Come on! The serving may not be, the reward may not come directly to you, but it will affect your generation, your children, and their children, and their children, and their children, and probably their puppies too. Come on, stand up to your feet, please. So if you're thinking that, I'm so scared to serve God, I'm so scared to be part of children ministry, I'm so scared to be part of the media, the production team, I'm so scared that if I give so much, I'll be so tired. As much as you give unto the Lord will fill you. Come on, lift up one of your hands to Jesus. Come on. I wanted to ask God, in what areas can I serve? If you got a gift of singing, you got a good voice, use it for the glory of God. Use it to host the presence of God. Come on. I want all of us right now to just ask God, in what area can I serve? In what area that I can come and put my hands into the plow? And those who are already serving, I challenge you to ask God, in what other capacity that I can give, God? What are the new gifts that you have given to me? Come on. Spirit, touch your church. Well, we pray, Lord, that you will just cause our spirit man to be stirred up, Father. Father, for those who feel that they are not important, those who feel that they got nothing, Lord, help them to know, Lord, that they are as important as the rest. So I pray, God, that they will begin to respond to this word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And every man and the woman of God say amen. Come on, let's give God a biggest clap of offering. That's right.